Hello and welcome to the Old Man Orange Podcast. I'm Spencer Scott Holmes.
And I'm Ryan Dunnigan.
And we're coming back at you with some more Helsing. And I guess it'd be our part three of this, going with episodes 6, 7, and 8 of the Ultimate series and so on.
Yeah, yeah. So we just figured, well, even though Halloween's over, no sense we can't keep on keeping, you know, Helsing's good for any time of year.
Well, yeah, as I say, like, I mean, and that's how I even feel like about just horror movies in general. I always think it is kind of a weird notion that you could only watch them in October. Like, I feel like those are the people that aren't really Halloween fans, but the people that think they are, but they aren't. But
so you know, one time a year we watch Halloween.
It's like Christmas movies. Like, you can watch a Christmas movie any time of the year too. I don't know why it's got to be Christmas. I mean, sometimes it'll be like March, and I'm like, you know what, sounds good, some Jingle All the Way. You know what I mean? And the next thing you know, it's like October, and you're like, hey, you know what? Maybe some Home Alone right now. You never know.
Well, sometimes there are those Christmas movies that are just legitimately good, or you just like them, so you just put them on whatever. But then there are the ones where I'm like, I feel like I only need to watch this at Christmas time. Like, there's the claymation ones. A lot of those, like the Frankenbass ones, like those ones, we could like, oh, you know what? They're not really that great of movies, but they still have a warm spot in your heart, and that's because you watch them at Christmas time. So just put those in the back burner.
I always like them. I love that type of animation.
That's of animation, but I mean, just, we already been through it. It's already been said a million times by now, but just even the thing with Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, just kind of like, you know what? Get out of here, you fucking freak! Oh, wait, he's kind of useful. Well, let him back in. Yeah, you know, through the side door. We don't want the neighbors seeing, you know?
Yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, that's his story of life, but yeah, you know, I mean, yeah, I guess there is a time and a place for sort of those and so on, but I don't know. I feel it's all in how you feel. That's how you choose things.
And Helsing is always going to be year-round. Now, I'm not going to lie. This is, since I finished the books, it's just, like, watching these series is kind of the first time. Because I remember what happened, but some of the order and how it happened is kind of all come back to me now. And I even have one of the books right here flipping through it just to remind myself, like, oh, yeah. Because I'm not going to lie, after a while, as good as this is, and I don't mean this in a bad way at all, it kind of runs together. But it's not that it's not entertaining. It's just like, wait, when did this bloody massacre happen with that bloody massacre? You know, it's kind of like, when they kill that Nazi. I know they killed a Nazi, but which Nazi and what order did they kill him in? That's kind of the thing with it.
Well, that's really what Helsing is. It's like, it sort of starts you off with like, kind of like, here's our premise, you know, and then after the first couple episodes or books, however you want to look at it, it literally just turns into a ginormous action piece, in a sense. And I mean, it's not saying that's not a bad thing, but that's literally what it is. It's just like, it's just one big battle after the next, and then you have some kind of like, you know, talking moments, like, you know, samurai movie style, and then he goes back into another big old battle, and that's just kind of what it is. And I mean, I feel like that's kind of like the appeal of Helsing, is that it just has just these really cool stylized action, you know, very neat drawings and all that kind of stuff combined together with just like brutal violence and what have you.
And I want to go off this for a second, because I noticed something while both flipping through the book and watching this last batch of films. You said that they were looking to do a live action Helsing. Now, that, who knows what's going to happen, because it's still kind of very raw. That news came out not too long ago, and I think the guy from John Wick, he was at least attached to writing it. I don't know if he's producing, directing, or what, but watching it, there's that scene where Integra is surrounded by all those Vatican guys. She's like, fuck this, I'm going home, and just keeps walking, and they all pull guns at her, and she's sitting there looking stern with all these guns pointing at her, and she's not even moving or flinching. That very thing is in this book somewhere. That is, like, directly, like, the John Wick 2 poster. And he said, like, I was always a fan of Helsing, and then seeing that, I'm like, maybe he was. Maybe that's just not some PR bullshit he's saying.
Yeah, exactly. You never know sometimes. And, you know, I also do think it is one of those ones that I think there's probably, like, the movie studios are kind of doing that thing, being like, well, we've kind of, you know, I mean, granted, there is, you know, comic book stories for days, but we've kind of, like, almost, like, you know, tapped, like, the main resources of, like, the Marvel and the DC stuff for, you know, pretty well, at least as long as, you know, or as much as, like, the regular audience member is concerned. So they're like, I think we need to start pre-planning, like, what the hell we're going to do, and, like, once that people get, you know, burnt out on superheroes, like, where are we going to go next? Mangas.
Yeah, well, after Eternals, I mean, this happens every time Marvel puts out a movie that disappoints somebody. and they always like, is this the end of the MCU? They had one movie that people didn't really give a shit about. So that means it's time to call it quits. Like, you fucking quitters, you know? So it's,
well,
just,
I think,
like,
it's funny too, because, like, Eternals was, like, one of those ones. I mean, like, granted, that should have been more like a, I felt like a Guardians of the Galaxy type one, where, like, hey, nobody really knows what this is. You know, fucking go ham at it. Just, like, really, like, you know, put it together real well, you know, do something that's going to blow people's minds and so on. Said Eternals was kind of like, it felt like it was like a bad knockoff of like a DC style of movie. And then it was like, huh, well, that just didn't pan out. And I mean, granted, I know that those are kind of like those like extra characters and so on that, like, you know, they're always going to seem like they're just ripoffs of other characters in the long run anyways. You know, there's no real way of getting around it. I mean, shit, they're probably like those ones, they're really just extra Jack Kirby characters, and it feels like, well, you know, Jack Kirby also created all, like, the Dark Side character world, too, and so this always feels like sort of a knockoff of that, which it probably was. Probably like,
no, that's literally what it was. He said, fuck you to Marvel, went to DC. DC was pulling the same shit, and he says, like, well, this fourth world new god Mr. Miracle shit, what the fuck is this? All right, yeah. Fuck you, I'm going back to Marvel. Hey, guys, I'm going to do a spiritual successor to my new god shit I made to DC. That's what Eternals is, basically.
Yeah, so I think that's the thing is it's like, it's sometimes kind of like without, like, you know, the average person doesn't know that backstory, so it just looks like a total knockoff, like, type thing.
And I bring that up, I was going to say, before we jump actually into Hellsing proper right here, so the reason I bring that up is because people a lot of times journalists and so-called comic books experts and all that, they'll say, like, the comic book industry is dying, man. It's just an old thing. It's just not going to be around forever. Like, maybe it won't be around forever. But at the same time, you know what's kicking ass right now compared to sales in, like, American comics? Manga.
Yeah.
Manga is selling really fucking good. And I think the reason is, I mean, don't get me wrong, I prefer Marvel and DC over a majority of manga. But the reason is, I think it's because you don't have all this years of history. You got people that are able just to hop on. And plus different reasons. You get people who, like, okay, there's a anime I really like. Oh, the anime just, that's out, I have to wait for the next season. Or I could read the manga, which is already this many volumes ahead. Or they read the manga that goes the opposite direction from the anime, which it's based on. Mm-hmm. So there's already reason enough to kind of to check out the mangas and all that. So when people say, it's just a dead medium, why do kids want to read picture books when they can look at a superhero? Well, they're still fucking reading picture books, just not ones that were originally printed in English. So I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, but, well, it's just that one. It's a certain type of audience that likes, it's going to always like to read. You know what I mean? That's like saying that novels are going to go away, too. You know what I mean? I think it's kind of a dumb thing to sort of say. I mean, it might not be the number one media. It's probably not going to be like novels were in the 1800s, where it's just like, you know, I mean, the only people that's not reading novels are people that can't read, I guess. But, you know, it's like, it's one of those ones I don't, it's like we split the pie, of course. But I do think that they are kind of getting that point where they're like, you know, at some point people are going to get a little bit, that's just the inevitable. People, the average Joe, not the comic book fan, not the manga fan, not that kind of person, but the average Joe at some point is going to get burnt out at the comic books, and that's going to make it not be the number one movie. But so I feel like, hey, you know what, we're going to have a built-up audience of anime and manga. That's where we can start turning into this. You know, they've obviously, in the last, like, you know, 10-plus years, have sort of, like, filtered in a couple movies here and there. Speed Racer, Ghost in the Shell, you know, there, a few others like that. I mean, some, and then taking some of the Japanese, like, ones and bringing them over. But I feel like at some point that's going to be the one where people are going to just start buying up, like, manga rights left and right to try to, like, compete with each other.
Yeah, because, you know, once you're kind of like, all right, well, there's all the Marvel and DC stuff, and then there's Dark Horse and Image stuff, mm-hmm. and then there's whatever other books, and now I think ahead of all those other random books, they got a bunch of manga. I'm like, well, you know what? Manga and anime is a lot more respected now, more so than it was 10 years ago. There's still some stigma behind it, but a lot of those people are going to be dying off soon.
Yeah.
So let's just give it a shot, you know, and I feel like that's what they're doing. I mean, regardless of how people will perceive it as good or bad, I mean, the Cowboy Bebop live action series is right around the corner.
Yeah.
As well as they got a One Piece one. Apparently they have a Gundam movie for Netflix, live action Gundam movie coming on Netflix that they're working on. So I know Netflix doesn't have the best track record, but I don't think those are going to be the only ones getting it, trying to get a piece of that pie. And a Helsing one could work. Just hopefully they, I don't expect it to be nearly as bloody, but just let it be bloody and let it actually live up to some aspect of the comic or the manga.
Yeah, just let it have, like, you know, just, yeah, just don't censor it, I guess, is the key thing. And it's kind of a tough one, because Helsing is one of those ones that, like, you know, like, even this day and age, like, if it was any other company that kind of had Helsing, they would end up going back and, like, re-censoring this show, because it's just one of those ones, like, this is what I'll use as an example, is like, okay, you get all the swastikas, I know I've mentioned this before in the previous episodes, but, like, stuff like Blood Rain, like, in their, like, later versions, they actually pulled the swastikas out of them and so on, and so have other kind of, like, World War II things, because that's why sometimes I look for it, like, whether you're playing, like, a World War II video game, or if there's any kind of movie or something, like, do they show a swastika? Because sometimes nowadays they pull that out, like, so it's like, well, who are you fighting then? You know what I mean? Let's be honest. Like, you know, I mean, pretty. The next thing they're going to do is
Reverse Rising Sun.
It's going to be like a Civil War movie, and you'll never see a Confederate flag in it. And be like, wait a second, what's going on here? Well, you know, they got a gray flag up there. Well, what's the gray flag mean? Well, it means that they're Southerners. You know, don't say the C word. You know, that's a type of government, and other countries have used that in the past, too. Yeah, yeah, but, you know, people don't understand what government means, you know what I mean? You know, that they just see flag, bad, bad. Be like, oh, Jesus Christ, people. Like, where the what the fuck is wrong with you people? And that's what I feel like. I feel like if they did a Helsing live action one, you definitely probably, like, they'd almost probably take the Nazis out and make them be like, well, who are these guys? Oh, well, they're white South American people that are angry. Yeah, and sort of overweight. Well, we can't call him overweight anymore. Oh, Jesus, we did call that guy overweight. Why do we do that? He has a funny haircut. You know, maybe that's what it is. He likes, you know, little boys that are, you know, dressed like cat people. But it's a Hitler youth.
All that, but they still left in the corpse fucking scene.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? Well, it's like, well, who does that offend? Other than Saris? Nobody? Oh, okay.
I was when I was watching the anime, I was like, I think they're gonna, because it happened in a different order than what I forgot that mm-hmm. that I thought. I forgot she got shot. I'm like, okay, that's where they're gonna stop, cut it off there or whatever. I'm like, oh shit, oh, they're going the full distance. They're actually doing the full fucking distance on this. Oh my yep. god, you know. So yeah, you can't. Helsing is going to be a hard one to pussify, so hopefully
yeah,
they don't.
That's what I mean. That's the only thing that kind of scares me, because in Japan, like, they seem to not have nearly as much problems, you know, with, like, going, like, hey, this is what it was on the book, this is what's going to be in the show, you know, get fucking used to it, you fucking pussies. Like, maybe it's just samurai tradition and all that kind of old-fashioned ways of, like, don't be a bitch. But sometimes in the U.S., it's like, they'll kind of, like, try to, like, pussyfoot around them. It's like, well, there's a certain demographic that probably actually won't watch Helsing, but we don't want to get them offended. But they're not even going to watch it or buy any of it. Yeah, but what if they just happen to stumble across it? You know, and then they have their lawyers, you know, on, you know, speed dial to come try to sue us for it, because that's the kind of people they are.
That's just somebody just walking through at the time at Barnes and Noble or Borders, and then, like, they bump into the manga section, a book flies up, they're like, whoa, 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 and just lands, like, right on the part where, like, Saris's mother's corpse is getting raped by a Nazi or whatever, and they're like, whoa, 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 what?
Yeah. That's almost like how it would have been back in, like the 90s, almost, if it was. And, like, there's, like, a mother's against, you know, the Japanese.
And here's the thing. I'm not promoting, like, more corpse fucking. I'm not saying
but
that.
I'm just saying that. It's that's more what it is, like, in the story. It's not, you know, that's how I feel. It's, like, it's not saying anything like that. I'm just saying it's, like, literally, it's, like, you don't censor somebody else's story. And if that's, like, what you're using to, like, make your character, like, have, like, a traumatic experience as a youth, that's part of the storytelling. I don't know. It's just, like, it's storytelling, like, Jesus Christ, people.
Yeah. But, so it's one of those things, like, yeah, it's part of just essentially, like, I just don't like the idea of a group of people who don't give a shit about the thing saying what I can and can't look at.
Exactly.
But that being said, not saying, like, man, I wish there was more corpse fucking in this book. Like, no, not the case at all. But at the same time, I don't like the idea of someone who gets offended at the mere sight of blood trying to change. No one has done that with this yet. I just hope no one does.
Yeah.
I mean, if a live action movie, and they're trying to keep it accurate to this, came out, like, in 2005 or 6, oh, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. But, like, I think this would have been too niche and go under the radar for them to even notice it back then, you know?
Yeah, that would have been, like, the straight-to-DVD one for, like, for the fans of Underworld.
One quick sec. I gotta let my dog out. One quick second.
Okay. Oh, that dang dog.
All right, and I'm back. There Sorry about that.
That's okay. But yeah, getting into Helsing. When we get to number 6 or whatnot, well, I mean, that's where it kind of starts off, where we have, like, we have Ceres, and you're this kind of big action scene where she's sort of holding down the fort of Integra's place with, who is it, Captain Bernadette and his team, like... Mm-hmm. You know, and once again, it's like each one of these episodes literally is just one big fat action scene. And that's the one where we got that one chick, Zorin or whatever, with like the giant scythe and like the tattoos and everything starts kind of invading there. And she just ends up like really massacring a bunch of these people and then uses like that kind of attack where she goes into their memory and finds their like deepest, darkest fears and thoughts and moments and memories and like pulls that out. So it kind of paralyzes them so that she can like, you know, in a sense, cheapskate kill them.
Yeah, and the thing with that almost does become kind of like a, I know they're fighting against vampires, but it almost becomes almost more like a zombie on crack times 10 kind of thing, because it's a matter of just because when you think vampire stuff, you don't think about them barricading themselves in a spot trying to survive too often. I mean, I know it's probably happened if you look long enough, like 30 days a night or whatever, but majority of the time, that seems like more of a zombie-type premises or something like that, or even Assault on Precinct 13, which I can see them taking inspiration for that for this book, or movie. But that whole part right there was just kind of like another gore fest, just like, we gotta hold up, and we gotta keep down, we gotta just keep this going. And I notice it really, re-watching this, it is kind of like, for this, let's have the characters go wax philosophy for like 5 to 10 minutes,
mm-hmm.
preaching what it is that's on their mind and why they do what they do, and then let's show that through all their action.
Yeah,
and even a little before that, we have the scene with Maxwell saying, "You know what? I'm a mad, power-hungry cunt, and I need to destroy me some England." So, like, even before, because then that's when, like, they have the whole scene where...
Where he's up on top, like, top of the part where he's doing, like, the conducting thing.
The boatmobile. No. He's, like, you have the major doing the conducting thing.
Oh, yeah.
But you had Maxwell of the Vatican basically going on a big, long speech about, England, we do not forgive you, you Protestant dogs, and starts like saying like, oh look, the Catholic Church is here, and then like, they just come down. Why are they dressed like KK members?
Well, I love how it's like one of those ones. It's like because it's like in the modern days. It's like it's almost like you want somebody to come up and like, oh, you know, we're not all Protestant anymore. Like I don't know what year you think this is. You know, the other guy pops out, well, you know, I'm actually Muslim. He'd be like, well, those ones be like, no, you're all Protestant. Everybody in England's Protestant. It's the English stereotype.
Shoulders up, back straight, lads, and forward!
Yeah. It's like, we've been fueling Ireland with, you know, propaganda for years just in case this day came so that we had some defense on the left side.
But it's like one of those things where like it does just use. You already kind of did not like Maxwell and that whole thing, and this is more of just kind of a tee up because he's just there spouting his nonsense, and then you kind of see how just petty and shitty he is. And there's even that small little thing they do where when he wakes up, he has a little bit of drool on the side of his face. He's embarrassed, but he can't wipe away with his Jesus gloves. So the guy hands him a handkerchief.
Yeah, exactly.
And even though they're all the priests along the side and like the Apache helicopters are all like, let's blow shit up. This is why I quit the church on Sundays all for the last every day of my life.
Yeah, exactly. Those ones like, hey, if you knew you were going to fly around an Apache helicopter, I think anybody would go to church.
Church sign up would be like, hey, kids, you want to go to the Vatican? Want to become a priest? Not really. You get to fly an Apache helicopter and shoot a gun. Like, really?
Well, it is one of those ones. Okay, think about it, though. Like, okay, let's just say if you actually had vampires and monster hunting and all that kind of stuff, how many more people would be signing up for the church if that, like, the church actually had a real purpose? You know what I mean? You'd be like, shit, I'm going to go fucking battle monsters and whatnot and have all kinds of cool gadgets and everything like that. Like, think
but
about
I think
it.
there would be turf wars, though. That would be another interesting
thing.
Well,
I think it would, because somebody's like, whoa. They can't have all the monster hunting credit, you know what I mean? They can't be the guys taking all the monster hunting contracts, you know what I mean? We need to start unionizing this, fellas.
Yeah, but which is basically what happens in this, more or less. So, I think that whole part was... that's just kind of a little thing. Like, okay, we're going back to this, but here is Zorin... Not Zorin. Here is... Maxwell being a fucking asshole, so you have zero guilt when we, like, murder his ass horrifically later.
Mm-hmm.
But then, here's a quick question. I know when you see all those knights, they all look like they're basically members of the Ku Klux Klan or whatever, but
they're,
do you think...
They're not, because that's, like, olden day, like...
I was about to say, yeah. I was about to say, do you think that was intentional? They're probably meant to try to look like they're olden time knights, which... KKK stole, but do you think they are trying to take that, do you think they're intentionally choosing that imagery to, like, get across, like, yeah, they're not that, but it's going to be a lot harder to sympathize with them, because you know what comes to mind when you see that.
I think so, because that's kind of the modern day thing. It'd be like that scene in, this is the best way to sort of say it, it's like, I think it's National Treasure, where, like, you know, it's at the very beginning, I want to say it's that one, it's either that, or if it's not National Treasure, it's, Da Vinci Code, because those movies kind of came out the same time, and they're kind of have that, like, hey, we're, you know, solving mysteries around the world. But it's like at the very beginning, I want to say that it's like he's showing pictures of stuff like a college meeting or something like that, and they're like close-up shots. He's like, and he literally shows, like, the, you know, the Catholic knight things or whatever the heck they are. He's like, and someone's like, hey, KKK. It's like, well, that's what you think it would be, but actually, if we zoom on out, you could see it's just, you know, a bunch of Catholic knights, you know? No, not the same thing. Not at all. Which makes me feel like it's Tom Hanks saying it. Now I picture it, I'm like, I really do think it actually is the Da Vinci Code.
Yeah, I don't think it's Nick Cage. Like, look, no, they're not the Catholic Knights. They're the KKK. Yeah. No, it's got to be Tom Hanks.
I'm pretty sure it actually is the Da Vinci Code. But those movies came out like the same time. And they actually are kind of like, they almost feel like back-to-back, like a double feature type movies.
The National Treasure is kind of like Diet Da Vinci Code, just because it's more like, let's try and get all the conspiracy, let's try and get all the controversy out of it, you know, like Disney putting out a movie, like, yeah, Jesus loved hookers.
Yeah, exactly, like one of those ones, you know, but still both fun, but yeah, so I think that's what it is, but I do also think it's there, it's almost there to get the people who aren't, like, savvy, I guess, on the history, to be like, hey, look, they got KKK guys in there, you know?
Mm-hmm. That, but then I also think it's meant to just be like, when you what comes to mind when we see that today is just, you know, racist redneck assholes. So right there, like, well, they're not those, but that's what comes to mind when you see it. So it makes it easier to identify as the bad guys. Plus, if you actually can't see their face or their eyes,
yeah,
that also is another thing.
It makes them like they're not real people under there.
Stormtrooper logic. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You know, as long as their face is covered, you're not killing actual people.
Whenever they fall off a cliff, it's a Wilhelmer scream or whatever.
Yeah, exactly, you know. But so they got all those kind of troops and so on, just kind of aligning there. And then you got literally the new, like, South American, you know, neo-Nazi guys coming in, Millennium and whatnot. Mm-hmm. I do have to say, I love that scene with the Major's up there. And it's like, and everyone's like, what is he doing? He's standing on top of the Zeppelin. He's like, he's conducting to the sound of war.
He's just fucking into it, like, yeah, like, what came to mind when I saw that, I think this may have came out, this did come out later, actually, yeah, but what came to mind when I saw that was, like, because he's fat, he's on top of a big floating thing, was, like, the beginning of Sonic Adventure 1, when Eggman's on top of,
like, the egg carrier.
Yeah, that's what totally came to mind when I saw that.
Well, I'll say this, that's something that Eggman would do, too, is stand up there and conduct to the, you know, the power of capitalism.
Yeah, pretty much.
His new factory's being built. He could hear all, like, the sounds of all the gears and all the oil spills and all the, you know, the poor workers getting underpaid because they're robots.
Just the sign of it, just the mere sound and the thought of it, like, he starts to reach into his pants, like, okay, like, that's when, like, Grounder and Clucker, whatever the name is, like, we're gonna go the other way, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, and then it's like, I guess back on, like, the Integra's kind of, like, home for... What the heck? I can't remember. Where did Integra... I mean, I know she left...
She was escaping, and then she got
captured
into,
by the Catholics.
And then she's like, you're captured by the Catholics. Like, fuck you. No, I'm not. I'm going home.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and they all pull guns at her. And at that point, that's where I think Anderson says, like, hey, we got to take her. Like, no, we're going to follow her, because whether we like them or not, we gotta fight off against the enemies. And Maxwell is acting like a crazy fucking asshole right now. We don't work for crazy fucking assholes. We work for God. So we're going the same direction she is for now.
I like the term. We don't work for crazy assholes. We work for God. It almost feels like there's like that's supposed to be left for a laugh track.
Well, that's what I listen to a crazy asshole would say. Which they all are, because they are super judgmental as fuck. I mean, yeah. The idea of, like, I mean, I like Anderson, but I mean,
Anderson's like, cool just enough, like, because he's just like, because he's almost just crazy too, and he just has this super obsession of killing Alucard. That's like all like he cares about. It's the only reason he joined the church.
I don't know if it's true, but I think I heard something like there was like a in Team Four Star, they had like a mock parody version. They did a song from like Hamilton. But they changed it to the lyrics to Anderson. But I'm not going to go over the whole lyric. But essentially in the song, they say something to the effect he was a criminal that dressed like a priest to kind of like hide away from like the Irish mob or something, or Scottish mob or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then while laying low, taking cover, pretending to be a priest, like a vampire came and he killed the vampire. And then he's like, oh, wow, I feel like I could actually do more than just be some asshole, who, you know. So from there, he worked his way up and became an actual priest and actual. So I don't know if that's actually in the lore somewhere or if that's just Team Four Star being creative. But yeah.
Yeah. Huh. Interesting. But but yeah, it could be kind of that. All I know is it seems like in this, though, he's just, that's like all he seems to care about is killing fucking Alucard and just having this, the greatest, you know, old-fashioned battle to the death that you possibly could have with him.
That, and he just kind of, he could get shot in the face and smile and keep on running at him, you know? So there's just something about, when you have a character that devoted and that charismatic, even if you like, I hate the Catholic Church, but I really like you, you know? Yeah,
exactly, you know, just, well, he's just kind of a cool character in that sort of sense.
But when he's talking to kids, like, there's that whole thing he has, like, where they have flashbacks to, like, whether it be Maxwell or Hegel in Yumi, he sees them as little kids, and he's, like, crouching down, smiling, he's being nice to the kids, and he's, like, a nice, kindly old priest, but once he gets out of, like, out of the office, and he's out into the field, like, time to fuck some shit up. I've been forcing a smile for the last, like, 25 days. I need to kill something. And I there's even like that thing, like, yeah, he liked Maxwell as a kid, but at the same time, he's like, God, I liked you, but you're so fucking stupid and so up your own ass that now I don't care. I don't care. Yeah, I liked you then, but I don't care now. So, boom, fuck you, you're dead. We'll get to that later, but yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
But going back to, because when we go over to, because that's where Sarah, that's where Integra's like, yo, fuck y'all, I'm going home. And then she goes, and they're like, meanwhile, just like, meanwhile, back at the Helsing Capitol, you know, yeah. Then that's where you get a little bit of just like, you know, let's watch this whole team of mercenaries sexually harass Sarah for a little bit. And then she's going to go on and take out Zorin. And then it kind of ends on a little bit of a cliffhanger. But in that aspect, there is that big shootout they have with Nazis trying to get in, as well as I think that's where they get in, maybe it's that one or the beginning of the next one, where you have Commander Bernadette just being kind of like, it's a kid, like, father, is it true we're murderers? Yeah, quit being a pussy, we're a bunch of murderers, it's awesome.
Well, they also have, I think it's like, if you watch, I think it's the credits in episode 7, like, it actually just has like literally like still shots of Captain Bernadette's like entire like life growing up. At first I didn't know who the hell it was because it showed this like little kid. I'm like, who the fuck's this little kid? And then it's like, oh, that's who it's supposed to be. And I thought that was kind of cool, because like, I kind of felt like in this Helsing they found a way in about every single one, like, okay, we want the people to watch the credits, so put some like background story stuff in there.
Yeah, they start doing that until they get to like the last I think, episode 8. It's just basically it was just a music video.
Yeah. I was saying, but, like, the last couple, I think, like, 5, 6, and 7, I noticed they started having shit, like, important stuff kind of happen there, or at least stuff that sort of added to it and whatnot.
Whether it be, like, the one of them was, like, the formation of Helsing. Another was, like, I think... just dealings Millennium may have had or something to that effect. Just, like, world-building stuff like that.
Yeah. You know, and, I mean, Captain Bernadette's a pretty kind of cool character and all. I mean, he's got that almost look of, like, he's kind of like a, almost like an Australian kind of, like, bounty hunter kind of, like, cowboy in a sense.
Well, I like just how the thing about this show is even if characters don't get attached or that emotional, they kind of still have enough, like, humanity in their own weird way, if that makes any sense. Because there's that part where he's like, England's burning to the ground and getting fucked up. I'm going to be 100% honest with you. I never liked England.
Yeah.
I always thought it was too stuffy. I always thought people were too prissy, too full of themselves. But whenever I was dragged here and all my colleagues wanted me to go out drinking with them, there is this whorehouse. They were ugly. They were not good at sucking people off. But you know what? They were cool and they were nice. There was this old lady who would always serve us fish and chips at this one restaurant. It was disgusting. The food was not good. I don't like fish and chips, but this lady was really fucking nice. And there's this bartender who had dumb jokes. But you know what? He was a nice guy. So those people are all dead tonight. So, and that's fucked up because, you know, they didn't have anything to do with these Nazis. Why are they dead? You know,
I love it. It's like, oh, it's like, it just sounds like you just gave the worst review on this place ever. But for some reason, it's like you gave it like 1 out of 5 stars. And then you're like, but I really like the people there.
They just go to his Yelp page. It's all just like everything's like 2 stars because everything sucks. But the guy was really nice.
Yeah. You're like, wait a second. What? That's not how it works.
But, like, yeah, and, like, you know, they're just, like, those kind of moments. Or, like, how the whole thing of, like, well, you know what? Saris is the last vampire, is a vampire, and they're going to need her for the war. Aside from being a vampire, she's a hell of a woman. So if we all die tonight, if we can't protect her and she dies, we're a bunch of useless fucking pussies.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and it's just like, that's kind of like how that battle sort of goes down. They almost make the sacrifice for Sarah so that she can kind of make it out, you know, alive. And actually, technically, in a weirder way to say it, like an evolved form.
Well, yeah, it's even something to the degree where, because you can even tell in the manga, because it kind of changes, like the idea of like when she goes down and bites Bernadette's blood and sucks it out and gets like... her uniform is now soaked in his blood, which kind of changes the tone of her suit.
Yeah.
So there is this kind of complete transformation of her, and the idea that she lost an arm, but now she has this one arm that is constantly like changing and forming, like it's like weird plasma blood shit, which sounds stupid, but it looks cool.
Yeah, no, it looks cool.
Yeah, and how like when she gives in, because every so often she's gone beast mode a couple of times, but when Commander Zorin, or whatever her name is, goes in and makes everyone hallucinate, and then she goes in and just flat out murders the ever-living fuck out of her. It's like, we haven't seen her go beast mode to that level yet.
Yeah, well, because there's that one part where, like, when Zorin literally gets a hold of Saris finally, and then, like, makes her go back to, like, all the dark memories and so on, you know, where the mom gets raped and everything like that, and she gets shot. But then there's, like, that's how she, like, gets stabbed through the chest, gets her arm sliced off. Then I think she literally gets her eyes stabbed out, too, I want to say.
Yeah, she slashes her eyes. And...
yeah. So she's just, like that point and stuff, you know, but she's still always able to kind of break free from this and so on, and to the point where, like, I think it's, like, where Bernadette sort of gets a hold of her in, like, his sort of sacrifice, and then when she tries to go through those memories again, like, she's already built up a defense to it, and she can't get in there any farther and so on, which is like, oh, shit, my cheap tactics, the only thing I have, it's the only thing I was good at.
Well, there's even, like, well, just the degree of, like, plus when... I mean, yeah, sure. I guess it's all more mental, but at the same time, like when it makes people think they're there in that moment too.
Yeah.
So there's the one guy who kind of goes in and like, I won't keep bringing them up, but I just thought this was too funny. There's the one guy who's there and he sees his daughter and he hugs his daughter like, I know you're not real, but God damn it, I miss you. Then he gets cut in half.
Uh-huh.
I know that I keep bringing these guys up, but Team Four Star, when they did that, he's just like, I never had a daughter. I'm your granddaughter. Like, don't have one of those either. Like, They just suddenly transforms into Sonic the Hedgehog with a massive cock. It's blurred out. And he's just like, we've been waiting for you. So, oh my God, it's so beautiful.
it's like, well, so it just felt like it makes no sense at all, but like almost just works and just like.
So there's that, but yeah, I think they do a good job of like there's the one guy who looks like God, I don't remember the name of the character. It doesn't fucking matter. He looks like the uncle from Bobby's World. The guy who's just like the guy who's like, hey Bobo, like that guy's like, we're gonna die looks just like, as far as my memory serves, looks just like
him. Yeah, the guy always handing out noogies.
Yeah, no, and that guy, well, the guy, he, that dude, when he, he's like, we're, Bernadette, we gotta give in, like, don't do it, you fucking pussy, like, only two of them live, and the one guy go like, shit, boss, I don't know about this, is like the, one of the only ones, like, oh, really, really, like, you think that, like, one of the guys with the actual ball sack would have made it out.
He just got lucky, though, that's just how those guys kind of are.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it is. Well, you just feel bad. Like, you never, if you're not a vampire, there's no sense in slapping on a Helsing patch, really, at the end of the day.
Yeah. I mean, granted, I guess there's only technically two guys there are two that are vampires, Saris and Alucard.
I guess Walter. Walter.
Oh, yeah. I guess that's true, too.
But, yeah, but beyond that, there's no sense. If you're not Saris and you're not Alucard. There's no sense in slapping on a Helsing patch because you're going to be fucking dead within a week.
Yeah, it's just you literally put a target on yourself. But because yeah, even the characters that are kind of cool, like almost all kind of like, well, that's just how this thing is. Just people just die left and right, you know.
Yeah, well, Bernadette was, I know I got his name mixed up in past episodes, but actually hearing it, like, right, Bernadette, he's one of my favorite characters. So seeing him go, I mean, it wasn't without reason. He went out like a badass.
Yeah.
And they do that whole thing with when his blood gets sucked by Saris, he lives within her now. And I think that he's like, oh, Michelle, you know, he does that whole thing where I think he talks to her once in a while, I think, if I remember correctly.
Well, that's also, too, by her, like, you know, in a sense, like, sucking his blood and whatnot, like that's what turns her into like I think like the full vampire or whatever she had to do, because before that she wasn't doing the thing where she was like sucking people's blood generally. Mm-hmm. So I felt that was the most like no, you have to do it. I'm gonna die anyway, so you might as well just, you know, absorb me right here, and then you'll make you kind of like, you know, regenerate.
And they made a point to where like in like her vision, like Schroenheimer or whatever, the little cat boy.
Oh yeah,
for pops sure. pops up and says like, "Blood for to have to actually gain to like if you're not like a top level vampire like Alucard, blood has to be offered, not taken, for it to really balance you and level up." You know, so
yeah,
that right there was like, oh, okay, that's a little interesting part of the lore.
I love how they just found a way to fit that guy in there. It's just like he just kind of comes into like Zoran's vision all of a sudden, and she's even like, "What the fuck are you doing here?"
Well, that character, as it goes on, like, because after all that happens, because I want to say that the episodes or episode movie 6, whatever you want to call it, ends with them about to fight Zoran, and then partway through, I think episode I can't talk right now. Book 7 goes, like, they leave the Helsing compound.
Uh-huh.
But I think the show might all stay in the compound that whole time. Can't fucking talk.
Yeah, I feel like it does. Because I do want to say, well, 7 is the one where Zoran, that's the full, like, Zoran battle, I want to say.
Yeah. Like it starts in 6, ends in 7.
Yeah, as I said, sometimes these ones kind of, like, the exact episode sort of like mesh together and so on, but and then it, like, you know, by the time we get to number 8 and so on like that, it's like finally Alucard's ship that's been driving for like the last 5 episodes not that long, but you know, still it feels like he's been driving this ship forever, finally makes a landing and whatnot, and he gets there and he's like, hey Integra, and like, I grew a mustache. You're like, well, yeah, you've been away for so long. Of course, surprised you didn't have a full beard coming out.
Which, the very thing I was complaining about, like, why the fuck doesn't he fly there? He's like, well, you said I think he needs his...
he needs his dirt, because he has his coffin right there.
Yeah, and I was like, "Well, what was it the fucking back of the Black Hawk of the fucking plane he crashed?" Oh, it was. Okay. I totally forgot about that. So I'm just like, "Why the fuck does he just fly there? This and that, yada yada yada." Like, oh, I forgot that's in the back of the thing. Okay, yeah. So, but then again, that also makes sense. So here it brings up my question, because we in one of these. It's revealed Walter is now younger, and he's working with the Nazis now.
Yeah.
Here's my question, and maybe if we cover the Dawn prequel thing, maybe it might help solidify it, or maybe it's said and I missed it in a line of dialogue. Did Walter willingly screw them over for whatever reason, and thusly that maybe that was part of his plan? Like, okay, we're going to make put Alucard in the plane, strand him out there, that'll give us time to destroy the city. Or did he get captured and basically Nazi-ified or something to that effect? Because when he first goes up against that big, stoic Nazi, there's old blood there. There's hatred. There's shit going on between these two that they're ironing out right here in this moment. So I'm wondering if, like, well, that's just kind of like he's working with the Nazis, but he still hates this fucker. So he's going to get a few punches in. He's going to make it look real, because it kind of is real, but not entirely.
Yeah, see, cause I wasn't too sure either, because I was trying to think that the whole way through. I'm like, was he, like, the inside man that betrayed him? I'm like, because I just can't remember from, like, the book, like, what the heck happened to, like, Walter Sorn Orr? You know, is he brainwashed, or is he working undercover? Like, what's going on here?
Yeah, like, I think it's maybe a half-and-half thing, but I'm just saying, like, I don't really entirely remember, because when he gives Integra the wheel of the car, like, maybe it's kind of a thing, like, he has a little bit of a thing against Alucard. It's kind of that, I think, because he's just like, why does like some asshole monster decide how this goes? He's not a man. Why is he the best soldier in Helsing? I think there might be some old blood or some grudge against it. As it goes on, Walter is a little bit smaller, a little bit more bitter than we would initially think. But out of that, he wants, at least, if possible, he wants Integra and Saris to make it out.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe it is one of those ones. Just be like, well, you know, the Queen always thought that Alucard was the greatest person ever. Well, yeah, it's because he compliments her every fucking time he shows up.
there's like a line where, because, you know, it's the Queen, so, like, there's a line where he says in the Team Four Star one, where he says, like, oh, she's like, Alucard, I'm not as young and youthful as I used to be. He says, oh, bullshit, I'd still wreck you like Diana.
You're too kind, Alucard.
And she's like, oh, you make me so moist when you say that. And some guy in the back is like, I'm never having sex again.
Yeah, it's like one of those ones. So, like, that's why he... See, Alucard knows where he needs to, like, play the cards right and so on. But as we kind of get in, that's where we get to the big fat battle of, like, you know, Alucard and Anderson and whatnot. And Anderson just... You kind of realize here, it's like, no, this is all Anderson cares about. He's been looking forward to this battle. It's like, whatnot. Like, it's just, like, him, Alucard, going at it, extreme, you know.
Well, even Anderson, when all this shit goes down, like, Anderson just, like, he's like, you guys get out of here. That way there's still someone left to do the work. I just killed Maxwell, because fuck him. And I just love how, like, because going off the thing, like, I said this before, a lot of the villains in this, they make the villains really hateable, mm-hmm. but not so hateable, like, dude, just get off the fucking screen.
Yeah.
They're, like, they're hateable enough to where you don't like them, but you can tolerate them. And at the same time, they're so charismatic. You're like, well, where's this fucking go?
Yeah.
And then when he dies so brutally. It's just, oh, fuck. He just gets, like, impaled by, like, 8 spears at once.
Well, it's like, because Alucard also gets, from Integra says, like, hey, you know what? Just, you know, fucking go at it. Here, taking all your restraints off you. You know, if we thought your character was overpowered before, wait a second. Let me take the restraints off. Let you go to town, and then he almost gets, like, these sort of, like, Dracula powers come out and so on. And I don't know if that has something to do with also even the mustache, but, like...
Yeah, he's...
The weird thing, though, is the mustache is there, and then all of a sudden, like, he like, powers up at some point, and it's like, what, did that just, like, shave him or something like that? Like, what the hell happened there? He lost his beard and mustache.
he has different forms, so that right there, because he could just take
that was just waiting on a ship form.
Yeah, well, no, it's just like you just play like the Pokemon Evolution jingle or something like that.
Yeah,
the whole Dracula thing, that part, I think it's just kind of like, you know what, this is me just letting loose, and this is who I was before I got like before I was subservient and all that. So I'm just gonna become Dracula again, and out of that, he's a little bit more like nobler and a little bit more kinder. He says like, "Ah, a worthy opponent at last." Where before, you know, he's just like, "Oh, you're not good enough to come against me. Come at me, motherfucker. Let's see what happens." You know. So yeah. Now he's a little bit more like noble, and then like I think Anderson's just like, "I'm not here to fight Dracula. I'm here to fight fucking Alucard." Like same thing, but okay. And like just turns back. I think that's what it is. Because
it's maybe like one of those Joker moments where it's like, "Well, I don't want to see Bruce Wayne. That's stupid."
Yeah, I think it's like literally like that. Like, we can't forget at some point during the final battle, another form he takes, he turns into a little girl for some reason. For some reason, he turns into a little girl.
Oh,
so
yeah.
There's more forms, and so Dracula with a sudden mustache is not the weirdest one.
No, well, yeah, actually, that's not weird at all. I think it's actually kind of cool, but it's like, well, I wish he would keep that, actually. I wish it almost stayed. Like, once that kind of appears when he comes off the ship, I wish he kept that the whole time. Like, he just kind of transforms back into normal-looking Alucard, which, I mean, maybe this, like, was like, whoa, we've already made merchandise for this character. You gotta, like, you can't just be, like, give him a mustache and a beard now.
Like, make him go back. Like, you know, like notes came back. Like, it's like, fine, it's gonna only be like that for a few pages.
Yeah, exactly. I felt like that's sort of like what it is. Like, no. We got character. It's kind of like the other thing I was thinking about in watching this is you. Like, whenever I think of, like, the iconic sort of, like, Alucard from Helsing look, he always has that hat on. But you notice that he only has that hat for, like, the first two, like, episodes and books, and you never see that hat, like, ever again.
Yeah, that's true, because yeah. I always thought of the hat, too, but then after a while, it's just constantly wavy hair.
Yeah, the hat is totally, and I don't know, I was just thinking about that, I'm like, the hat's like the iconic look of like what makes that character sort of stand out, and then it's funny how like the hat, and even the hat and glasses are both gone.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Huh.
Yeah, that's true. After a while, I think he just loses, you know, I think it just became like, you know what, there's so many characters with glasses that glisten in the light that we could probably just lop a few of them off, you know?
Yeah.
And even that, I think he actually, even though I appreciate the hat, I think he looks cooler without the hat.
I do too. I think he actually looks better without the hat and the glasses. I definitely think that that's a neater look. I'll say this, though. I think they probably felt like they put the hat and glasses on to keep it so it's like he looked different than a Castlevania character. Because realistically, without that hat and glasses, he really just looks like a Castlevania character.
Well, it's also, he apparently, I remember reading in like one of the mangas when I first got it. It was either Volume 1 or Volume 2. He said he was getting the guy who made Kanto Hirano. Said like he was getting shit because like he looks like Vash the Stampede because he has the tiny little yellow glasses and he dresses in all red, so he's like, yeah, and he's got a big ass gun, like, yeah, okay, you know. So I'm like, well, I'm keeping the red trench coat, I'm already committed to that, but the glasses can come and go.
Yeah, exactly, maybe that's sort of kind of it too.
But that whole part though between him and Anderson, I kind of like that by that point, like Anderson is getting all bloodied up, and the whole thing with him is like he wants to be defeated by a worthy opponent. He actually really wants that. And a worthy opponent is not another monster. A worthy opponent is a human, and he likes the idea. He's like, look, if you become a monster to take me down, you're basically cheating. What's so interesting about mankind is mankind shouldn't be able to do it, but they can do it. So if you don't and you cheat and you become God's monster, then you are fucking us both. And like, so the whole part where he just kind of like pleads with Anderson, like, please don't fucking do this.
Yeah, exactly, where they're kind of just going across it there and so on. And then I just even like, too, where just like there's that moment, too, when both Anderson and Alucard, like, strike each other, and, like, Anderson, like, slices Alucard's head off, slices his arm off, and then Alucard just pulls, you know, the big old Magnum out and blasts him, like, pretty much like a T-1000 in the face. that's literally what it sort of looks like, and then, like, Anderson's, like, head's blown off, or, like, literally just, like, falls and rips apart, but then he starts getting all this, like, almost starts to look like Princess Mononoke, where he's got all these just, like, tentacles coming out now.
Yeah, because the whole thing he does, he takes like the blade of the spear that Jesus was stabbed with, mm-hmm. stabs it into his own heart, and basically becomes like the anti-vampire, more or less, and becomes like this. It's like meant to be like vines. I think like vines and thorns of Jesus' crown or something like that. But what I appreciate about that is every so often, whenever they do angels versus demon things, they always make, and I understand why they do it, because one's supposed to be good, one's supposed to be bad. But I feel like a lot of the times when they make this type of stuff, there's like, okay, demon looks scary. Of course demon looks scary. Angel looks nice and pretty or cool or badass or whatever. But sometimes, not very often, but sometimes they make the angelic and godlike creature like fucking frightening, as if it's this thing that we're not supposed to be able, like, oh, I thought this angel was going to look more like human. Well, it's above human, so it's not going to look human. It's going to be like something that looks kind of uncanny and weird, because it's going to be kind of scary because it has the ability to fucking wipe out whatever it wants. So the idea of like him like becoming like an instrument of God, but not being like, oh look, I got angel wings now, but being turning into like this monster made of thorns, you know, like, oh shit, it's vengeful and it's pissed.
Yeah, no, I like that kind of look too, where the angel type creatures are actually more like crazy looking and more monstrous looking than like the actual demon ones are, you know. And it's just mm-hmm. even the rest of his team are kind of like all that point, like, oh Jesus, it's like he's really got into it right now. It's so like that, look at him, he's transformed, he's not even human anymore.
I signed up for this to fire a gun and to fly an Apache helicopter. Yeah. I didn't sign into this to turn into, like, a fucking vine monster.
Yeah, exactly, you know.
And someone's more dedicated to the cause than me, that's all I can say.
Yeah, I mean, you don't get more dedicated than that guy. That's the guy who's like, you ever notice that he's, no matter what day that you show up at church, he's always there?
Yeah, it doesn't even have to be Sunday.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be Sunday. He's one of those kind of guys. It's like he's got a room in the back of the hall. Oh, he does have a room in the back of the hall? Oh, jeez.
No, he lives in the confession box.
Yeah.
No, but like, well, even that whole part where I honestly feel like it's one of those things, like, it's the whole thing with, he is, like, he's so committed to killing Alucard that he almost says, like, yeah, we maybe go. He wasn't saying we're going to heaven, we're going to limbo, because he knows he's questionable himself. So he's all like, I'm gonna sacrifice everything I am just to kill this fucking thing.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he's just going to the extremes of all can be, because then he pulls out like that Helena's like nail thing.
Yeah, and that's what he stabs himself with. Yeah,
yeah, I stab himself.
Lance of Longinus, I think.
Yeah, and then, like, cause that's getting kind of close to, like, the end of this section right here, because it kind of ends on a, oh, what just happened kind of moment. Credits.
Yeah, because he slashes, because that's where he slashes, like, it looks like he Alucard's about to win, and when Anderson goes the extra crazy motherfucker level of, like, one of his arms is barely hanging on, and he picks up his arm by his teeth, holding the blade, has the other hand ready to go, and Alucard's like, oh, I love this fucking guy. You know, like, he's just like, this is what I wanted, this is the guy, this is the human that's gonna kill me, awesome. And then, oh, you're doing what? Fuck, you cock tease.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I will say, there's also a scene, it's like right before that, where it's just cool imagery, where like Anderson, you know, crosses his, you know, blades together into like a cross form and like a high kind of level, and then Alucard crosses his guns, you know, in like an upside down cross, and just back and forth before like they kind of go into each other. Just cool little pictures like that and so on.
I will say, here's the thing about Helsing. Like, if you pull at it long enough, and this isn't me trying to talk shit at all, if you pull at it long enough, the story isn't amazing, because it's all just, well, after a while, it's one big giant battle. But every so often, spectacle can take the front seat, and the story itself can take the back seat once in a while. And this is a show. I think the reason why Helsing Ultimate is so good is because the animation and the art style live up to the crazy images that are in the comics. Because the first one, the original series, which I still like, is a little bit limited in animation and budget. This one is like, they can tell they went all out and they put everything they had into it. And
yeah,
it shows. And for that, you're able to kind of forgive, like, why is this battle going on for so long? Because it's fucking awesome.
Yeah, exactly. And that's sort of what, because I mean, if you really just took the straight up story of like these 10 Helsing story or books or, you know, movies and so on, I mean, you literally could sum it up to like a one, you know, 2 hour, 2.5 hour movie, probably easily, you know, just kind of how much it is there. I mean, it's more just has like the extended battles is what like makes it longer. But if you wanted to kind of do it in like a time frame, it like it literally could fit into one, you know, solid good length movie, you know. Especially, I'm guessing if you're going to do a live action movie of it, I feel that's almost, you could probably sum this up into like a 2 hour experience. I mean, it would definitely be, you know, the quicker, you know, version, but, you know, I mean, you could still capture generally all the story elements that way.
If you wanted to pace it out and still kind of have enough of it be a little different just for people who've already seen it, I guess the first movie could be, they're going against the Valentine. Like, you have the situation with Saris turning into a vampire, and then the Valentine brothers can be there, and then maybe the final boss of that movie is like one of the Nazis, like one of the Nazis from this group, and then from there that leads to, I guess, probably two or three movies.
Well, if you wanted to stretch it out the three movies, I feel like you would definitely want to have the first one in with the cliffhanger being, oh, yeah, there's Nazis. I think that's just, you can't have a better cliffhanger than that for somebody who's never read this or seen this before.
Yeah, or the person, that, like, they're going against somebody, like, it doesn't have to be Rip Van Winkle, but a character like her. And then it's just like, oh, she's just some fucking crazy neo-Nazi bitch. And then all of a sudden, like, oh,
there's more of them.
Oh, there's more of these things, and they're also vampires? Fuck. And then you go in Cuba, have an adventure in Cuba, get out of Cuba, and then big battle in London. You know what I mean? So yeah. I almost think like that would be the way to do it.
Or weren't they in South America in this?
No, they weren't in Cuba. They're in Brazil. I think they're in Brazil.
Yeah, as I say, they're far down south. When you said Cuba, like, I started having this weird, because I just watched like Thunder in Paradise, and I started getting that Hulk Hogan movie like intertwined with Helsing, and I was like, wait a second, were they there?
I was thinking the big Jesus statue. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's not in Cuba. That's in Brazil.
Because I was all of a sudden, I'm like, I know I was just in Cuba in another movie not too long ago. So I'm like, maybe that is right. I'm like, wait, no, that can't be right. Yeah, but, I mean, like, you could, but I feel like you also could do this story probably in like a 2 hour one. Yeah, granted, it would be the super fast version. It would be kind of like the Scott Pilgrim one where you'd have to kind of like cut out some certain things, but you'd get the core story across.
Definitely do that. You could definitely do that too, you know.
You know, but
because you don't need everyone's backstory. You don't need like every character given a 10-minute monologue about like how much they love war, how much they jerk off to war. So it's like you don't need that for every single character. That said, I mean, I who knows what they're going to do with the live action movie? But I'm watching this series again, or watching the series technically for the first time. I read all the books, but watching the series itself for the first time, it's kind of like. I remember why I like the series so much.
Yeah, exactly. No, it is one of those ones, like, it is super cool, visually amazingly entertaining. Like, the battles are just badass, copious amounts of good old violence and all that good stuff. It's, yeah, and it just has that kind of, like, it sounds weird, but it just has that very, like, 2000s-y feel. Like, it's that thing that, like, you kind of realize, like, oh, you know, the 2000s was still a pretty solid decade for, like, all kinds of stuff, you know, at the end of the day. Yeah. You know, you kind of go back to it, and it's just like, oh, that was almost, like, the most, you always want to call the 90s the most extreme one, but it's, like, realistically, because of, like, since the 90s, you know, flows into the 2000s, it lets the 2000s almost have, like, the true extreme, like, era. Of, like, just going the distance on certain things and just being, like... And also, it's the time period where things like that kind of started to get accepted. Where that once this would have been, like, national news, like, you know, like, what the hell is this cartoon? And then nowadays it's like, oh, no, we have an old enough audience now and whatever, and nobody cares.
I still think, even though Helsing is respected among anime fans, I still feel like it's a little, like, kind of niche, where if the wrong person came across it, they'd be like, what is this? Yeah. There's Nazis in this, and there's people are drinking each other's blood. It's a vampire. Like the things in Twilight?
Yeah.
I mean, okay.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm not saying it's not still extreme. No. I still think it's one of those ones, like, it definitely is for the hardcore audience only. You know, it's definitely in that kind of, like, almost, like, rated X category. But,
Well, it's just, like, you got a part where, like, a priest... gets most of his arm shot off. It's dangling on, and he picks up. He's still holding onto his sword, kind of. Then he picks up his nearly broken off, like his arm is nearly coming off. Picks it up by the sleeve with his mouth, and still fighting a bunch of like zombies coming out of like a big blood orgy. So it's like, yeah, it's kind of, it's not for everybody.
But it's like that weird thing that, like, it's like, yeah, sometimes there's certain things that, like, if that would have came out, like, in, like, you know, 95 on, like, Fox Kids, people would have been like, what?
Like, I'm going to see the four kids entertainment version of this, try to see them edit around this. Like, they just turn all the, like, you know, they just, like, Alucard's just like, well, I'd say it's time to surf's up. Like, oh, he's summoning a giant wave!
They just have, like, all the blood just blue.
Yeah, they start da na 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 na. Just going through this.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, but yeah, no, Helsing always a good time. You know what's also something I think about? Why has there never been a Helsing video game?
I feel like, well, I mean, who would you play at? I guess you'd have to play as either Integra or Ceres, because Alucard would be too overpowered unless it was just a...
Well, I feel like in a video game you could still play as him. I mean, yeah. Like, that's, you know... I mean, I know that the way he's sort of written in the story would make him feel overpowered. In a video game, you could still play as him. I mean, obviously, that would definitely be the main character. I don't know why... I mean...
Yeah. Well, I feel like it would be... Yeah, probably it would be, like, third-person shooter, like, melee kind of thing. But then, like, maybe it could also be, like, a... Really, realistically, it'd probably be like a Final Fantasy Tactics type of thing.
Really? Because the way I picture it being more like a Devil May Cry game. I mean,
I could see Devil May Cry. I can see that. But I could also just see with... I'm just saying, because, like, think of how much of it is armies clashing and people work... You know what I mean? Like, I could just see, like, okay, you got, like, your five... You only play as Helsing. Maybe multiplayer, you play as the other characters. But who really wants to be like, I'll play as the Nazis? Like, he's really eager for that.
Almost no video game ever lets you play as the Nazis. That's something I've learned. Because, like, you almost never can find that kind of person you can play as in that. It's like, they always mostly limit that out. Even, like, in Call of Duty, I think World at War, it's like, when you play multiplayer, you're not playing as the Nazis. You're playing as, like, you're playing as the brown flag people. You're like, what the fuck is that brown flag people? That's not even, like, German. No. Yeah, it's... They like paper bags. I don't know. That's who it is.
I know it's a World War II game. I'm just a PR guy. Yeah. Just a guy crumbling in the middle of a PR conference. Behind a podium, like, I don't even know why they hired me.
I literally have no spine.
It's a miracle I'm able to stand up straight for, like, 5 minutes a day. But I guess you could do it. I mean, you got a Final Fantasy Tactics kind of thing. I mean, you have Alucard, who always is probably your heavy hitter, but if you use him too much, maybe he gets drained or, you know, like, depending on... Because we'll go into the last two episodes when we get to them, but I guess something happens with that. But then you have Integra,
I almost pictured, like, if you played it, like, as a Devil May Cry game, you would switch back and forth between different stories where you played as Alucard, you played as Ceres, you maybe would play as, like, kind of maybe a couple special ones where you would play as characters like
Walter.
Yeah, like Walter, you would kind of play as him for, like, you know, a level or something like that. You know, you would play as Bernadette.
Bernadette's hard mode.
Yeah, it could be like something like that. He could be even the unlockable human character. But I feel like, I'll even say this, you probably could still have a game where, you know, because a video game would still kind of write its way around, like, how, like, certain things work, where you switch back and forth between just literally Ceres and Alucard. You know,
yeah, that could work.
You
too.
Literally could be both those characters back and forth and kind of tie it together. I mean, if you want to, it'd be cool if you did even play as all types of characters, like maybe even played as Integra for like one level and so on. But, you know, that kind of game, I feel, could be written around that kind of way. But it's just so weird to think. It's like every other anime has at least some kind of, like, game. Even if it's kind of a half-assed game, they mostly do. But there's literally not a Helsing game. That's kind of bizarre, in my opinion.
Well, you just saying the way you could play the game just popped in my head. And some people would complain about this, but I think other people would, like, really appreciate the art of what it's trying to do just through gameplay. Like, the idea of, like, you can fight against some kind of, like, vampire monster of some kind, like, not a traditional vampire, like something else, as Alucard or Ceres and kill it with ease. But then you play it as, like, Bernadette or Integra, and suddenly it's a bit harder. And what seems, like, so easy as Alucard might as well be, like, a big boss as one of these characters. Just more, and not to say, like, these characters suck, these characters weak, but just to get you, just get the point across of how strong both Ceres and Alucard really are.
Yeah, the difference between that and so on. I mean, yeah, that can always be kind of the case, you know, but yeah, no, I just felt like there should have been a game, like a tie-in one, especially when Hellsing Ultimate came out. That would have been the ideal era of, like, would have been a perfect PS2-style game, like, I don't know. It feels like it's kind of like a very missed opportunity. And nowadays, yeah, I feel like they wouldn't do it at all because tie-in games are kind of rare now, but...
I wonder if they do the thing where if it came out probably around, like, say, 2004 or something, where the game comes out and, like, it'd be probably more based on the anime by that point. And the game comes out like, well, to help push it, we got in some American bands to add on the soundtrack. Like, just got wicked down, down, down.
Oh, I kid you not. The Hellsing is sort of set up to have like that industrial rock, like early 2000s. It is so set up to have that in the American soundtrack.
Some Rob Zombie in there.
Yeah.
Some Power Man 5000.
You know what I mean? Like, it is. Definitely. I'm actually kind of surprised that that's not in the... I think probably because the original Hellsing anime is kind of like a little bit more low budget, but if that was like an OVA or something like that, that totally would have had...
some like Slipknot in there.
Yeah. One of those.
Like at the end, like you got like Alucard like diving at like a truck that's incoming and just like, here we go! Like, what's the Korn song? Is it Korn, Here We Go, that song?
That might be for Korn. I'm not, like, the most expert on Korn, but...
I'm just thinking the end of Street Fighter 2. It's just like, here we go!
Oh, yeah, I think that is Korn at the end of Street Fighter 2.
Yeah. So, something like that.
But, yeah, like I think that would have been it. But yeah, it's kind of weird. But I think that's just always this. It's Hellsing's one of those ones that people know about Hellsing, as far as... I mean, let me say, anime people kind of know about Hellsing, but it's also... not really one of the biggest, it's kind of like a hidden gem, like, anime at the same time, too, you know, because it's only got just that certain amount of episodes, certain amount of books, there's no extra tie-ins to it, no technical movies, you know, no video games, yeah, it's kind of bizarre.
Yeah, maybe in time, like, if they, who knows, maybe if they do make an animated, live-action movie... and it does well, they're like, let's look to the source, and then from there, try to make something out of that, but who knows.
Yeah, in the long run, something might come out of it, but yeah, till then, we'll finish off our block of Hellsing on the next episode or so, and yeah, continue the fray of Hellsing Ultimate, and see exactly how this series ends. But till then, go to oldmanorange.com for more podcasts, comic books like Pizza Boys, all our old animations, and all that kind of fun stuff. I'm Spencer Scott Holmes.
And I'm Ryan Dunnigan.
And we'll see you some other time.
Later, folks.